This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
All right, here we go. It's a new week. It's a Monday. We're off and running. Overdrive, TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, he's back. Just like MJ, just like Tiger.
Dude,
like
how you feeling? How are you feeling?
I'm not feeling great, but I wasn't ever going to miss another show because a couple of reasons. One, I did not hear the show on Friday. I'm sure you're very supportive, and that's what really drove me the weekend to get better. You're supportive. I could sense it. Yeah, I could feel the support and the compassion from you guys. So I'm like, I got to battle back for the boys because I'm sure they had my back. And Noodles is in California right now and still doing the show. So that's impressive. Shout out to Noodles, who barely got to the
hotel. What a background, too. You can see the ocean behind him. You can... what are you, in a dorm room or something?
I am, you didn't even want to know how I got set up here. I had to run my head under the sink because I've got hat head, and it's just been a circus. I was supposed to fly in last night, and my connecting flight to San Francisco got canceled, I was late for it, so I would have missed it. So I would have been stuck in Montreal last night. So it was just a circus. So I had to take the 810 out this morning. They had to get my bag off the plane. My bag went to Montreal and came back last night. And
no way.
So anyways, I landed. I got to the rental car. It took, 45? I guess from San Francisco to San Jose, it's like 45 minutes. So I was bombing down the highway. I get here, and I've got the manager helping me, get set up with, a hard line and that, and it's not working. 10 minutes ago, I'm like, oh, my God, it's not working. But we have a backup wireless setup, and I'm fired up. I changed right there. My bag is sitting right there. I am in a conference room, a tiny little conference room. There's no background. He has a TV there, but it would have been a blue screen.
It's all good.
It would have looked worse.
It's all good. You made it.
It's all good.
I had
You're a better man than me because if that's me, I'm like, I'm not doing the show today. Get someone else.
I know.
I'm down at the Fisherman's Wharf right now.
And by the way, you're in San Jose?
Yeah.
Go to the Canes. There's a Canes game tonight. The Canes play San Jose.
Yeah, I might go there later. I mean, Ottawa's playing Colorado. Got to watch that game. The one thing, you know what's on my docket, which is embarrassing to admit? Do you remember right by the Ritz? Oh, there's a Johnny Rockets. Do you guys remember a Johnny Rockets?
Yes.
They have the best fries ever. All I've been thinking about for 2 days, I'm like, I'm going to get a milkshake, a Johnny Rockets chicken sandwich and fries. And I will be heartbroken if it's a COVID casualty. Over there.
I think that's survived. Johnny Rockets is a pretty decent-sized chain out there.
Dude, people that travel the world are like, there's a sushi bar that has this unique sushi that's flown in from Honolulu. This guy wants French fries and a milkshake.
From Johnny Rockets.
And a grilled chicken sandwich. They've got very good grilled chicken. But all I can think about is that, we used to stay there and you walk right out the back door, there's a Johnny Rockets right across, literally across the train track there. I'm so excited for it. I'm going to get Uber Eats. I had a bad experience with Uber Eats last night, so don't even get me going on that. I've just had a rough couple days.
Yeah, I can't believe
it. But you know who hasn't? Joseph Woll, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's right.
Had a good game last. I got a chance to watch the game last night start to finish. It wasn't exciting, but they won, and that's all that matters.
I'll tell you this, man. That building had no life in it. I could not believe how quiet it was.
Dude, and it was Hayes. I will say one thing. It's amazing. The Islanders, they're in trouble. They got to get guys healthy, and they're losing, and it was quiet, and what a way to open a building, getting shut out twice. That's garbage. But I found it amazing, the detail. I thought I was looking at the old building, ice, the boards, the glass. I'm like, this is exactly the same. So they accomplished that when they designed the rink. But they're in trouble. And the Leafs, that's a good bounce-back win. It's good to see those bounce-back wins because they always say in the locker room, good teams don't lose two games, whatever. But it's a good bounce-back win, man. John Tavares going back there, hostile environment. And they get the shutout for the kid, Hayes.
Yeah, no, that was big. Yeah. And I think it was, even though that's his second win, he got a win on a back-to-back in Buffalo. The Leafs did not play well. And they hung him out to dry. They weren't going to do that again to him. And I think the way that they're playing and how comfortable they look in these low-scoring games is a sign of maturity, which should be here, right? We've been talking about the maturity of this team for years. Like, they're a mature group. They're a veteran group. At times, though, they let it get away from them. And last night would have been an example of that, where it was a carbon copy of the Pittsburgh game a month ago, where Pittsburgh had everyone out of the lineup, and then they skunked the Leafs. And I think the Leafs learned from that experience. I think they've learned from hanging wall out to dry. These are all early in the season moments where you can kind of chalk it up and saying, okay, instead of them just paying lip service to it, maybe they've actually applied it. And I like the fact that it was a low event game. They dominated that game. The Islanders have nothing right now. They're lifeless. I feel for them because they've been on the road. They're dealing with COVID, dealing with injuries. They had no
hop. Six guys, no pace, no forecheck.
Like, that's not the Islanders we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years. But that's not the Leafs' problem, and it's not the Leafs' fault. You know, the Leafs could have gone in there and been lifeless themselves and then give the opposition something to buzz about. They never did, and I think the Leafs deserve credit for that last night. That's a back-to-back on the road, new building, and the Leafs thoroughly outplayed them and took 2 points home, and now they remain on the road. They're out west, too. They're out in California. So,
I think they play here Wednesday, right?
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, no back-to-backs, which is strange. Usually you play 3 and 5 when you're in Cali. Or 3 and 4, I guess. But, it's Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. They're out in Cali.
I didn't check. Now, did they adjust the start times for Toronto fans?
No.
Sunday's game is in Anaheim. The Sunday game is in 8 o'clock Eastern time, 5 Pacific.
Yeah. That's not bad.
That, and honestly, that's the game I'm looking forward to seeing the most on the road. Usually it's L.A. because it's the Kings, Sharks because of the Shark Tank. But really, this Anaheim team has been so good. Troy Terry, I want to see him, and Getzlaff, and Jamie Drysdale is a Toronto kid, and I want to see what he looks like. So, but yeah, the Leafs, you know, responded. I didn't think they played poorly on Saturday night. They just couldn't get going. Credit to Pittsburgh, and then they responded really well last night. It's a big 2 points.
Yeah, no, it was, and you know what? That's what you need. A win's a win. Whatever formula you need to do it. I thought Wall wasn't tested very much, but he made a big early in the game. I always like Mark's mentally things. He made a big left pad save on, I believe it was Palmieri on the back door off a rebound. And I was like, okay, this kid looks like he's, you know, settling in, pretty comfortable. And, you know, the Leafs didn't give up much. It was, like you said, hey, it's a low event game. But, you know what, if you allow a go early, all of a sudden, you know, the team goes, okay, there's a kid in net here. Let's get some life. The building starts rocking. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. And he made some solid saves. And you know, Beauvillier had a breakaway that, you know, he stuck right with him. He ends up missing the net, but he stuck right with him. There were a couple saves that I thought, you know, good for him. Good that he looked comfortable. And that, because against Buffalo, he didn't look comfortable. And the team was no good in front of him.
They put him in
the I don't know how they handle goaltenders, but would they ever, the way they're handling Jack Campbell, and Mrazek's going to come back sooner or later, would they ever, like, just keep him around? Like, you know, the situation where it's better for a guy to be at the NHL level than possibly down at the AHL? Like, does it make sense for them to keep him around? Because Campbell sometimes only goes out before practice, doesn't practice. What do they do with this kid when things kind of settle in?
I would say in defense of Joseph Woll, I think he's played, up until last night, played 3 games this year. This kid, he's got to play. He's 23 years old. He's got to play.
Okay, so down to the minors.
I would try and run the legs off him in the AHL. Like, just get him. You know, Hutchinson is that guy. If you want a third goalie to be around the team, it's got to be Michael Hutchinson, because they know what he is. They're paying him on a one-way contract regardless of what it is. I believe Hutchinson's a $750 one-way. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, Leafman. But Wall is if he's your goalie of the future, you got to allow him to progress. But I agree with you. If Campbell is going to get practices off, like, I won't take credit for it. Mike McKenna, do you remember Mike McKenna, the former goalie, and he's broadcasting? He's been advocating to have a third goalie on a roster that doesn't count against a cap. So you could have a guy at $250 a year. Now, the Leafs can afford that. Other teams don't want to pay that. To have a third goalie who's going to be your e-bug if something happened and be around the team, because now, because of scheduling, because of resting your number one, teams don't want to get jammed up. You got to pull a guy from university and all of that. Like, I would love to see a third goalie.
I agree. Yeah, we had the conversation a month ago when the Leafs went through what they went through. And, I think that makes all the sense in the world. The league doesn't appear overly proactive on that front or that interested in asking owners to spend any more money. That's what really comes down to.
If you're paying them $250 a year, I mean, that kid that subbed in from university, he's probably, if that's how much the guy's making, he'd probably be like, I could be an e-bug third guy for 10 years at $250.
Oh,
that's a solid job.
The best gig ever. Imagine just
get roasted on the road every night.
It would be the best. If you get per diem and everything.
Dude, that's the best job ever.
Yeah. Like, you could treat it like the pros. You're on the bus. You're on the flight. Imagine the guy.
You're in the NHL. Like, bio on Instagram, everything. NHL, NHL, blue check mark, and you're a third guy.
That's
the best job in the world.
It really would be spectacular, and especially if the guy developed an ego, you know, giving pep talks before the game. It's like,
just a hero.
There he is, the e-bug, giving pep talks to the boys.
Yeah, Tom Barrasso in Shoot Around, like a coach takes a shot at him, just skate right out. No coaches take shots on him.
You know what, though? We should find out, what is the greatest job in pro sports?
I think it's a bullpen catcher right now, or a caddy on a top 25, like a tour.
I was going to say caddy on a like,
yeah, but you have to work.
Bag. Yeah, you do have to work. I mean, I guess if you're looking for someone who doesn't do anything, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that job exists, really, because
you got to put some sort of effort in. Right, you got to take
noodles.
Pitches,
there's a lot of talk before I met you. There was a lot of talk, like a backup goaltender for Marty Brodeur or somebody that plays 70 games a year. It's like you got 10 starts. Chris Terreri had 10 starts a year. That's a pretty good
nine.
Game.
I think I had nine behind Luongo my year in Florida. Like, Louis was a workhorse and wanted to play.
That's
and liked
pretty good.
To play.
Pretty good
that
town
was,
to be in too.
Like, you're right. Like Fort Lauderdale. Like I had a pretty good. Like, there was times where Kipper was playing 70 and I was sniffing around just my 15 or whatever. But
you still got to practice, though. The thing is with that, you got to be there first, last one off. It's not a glorious gig. I mean, it's a fun. You're in the NHL.
Goalie situation, this guy could have another side gig, but he's making $200, $250 on the side.
Right.
Just wheeling around. Right. God knows what he's up to.
Yeah, it would just be it would be such a spectacular. It's a movie script. You know, the e-bug, and he finally gets called in. He's probably too hungover. He wasn't expecting it. And he gets called up, goes in, gets shelled. Yeah. You know, but I would love
and
to see it.
And they get rid of him.
Yeah, then you're out. Exactly. After 10 years, you never had to play once. Talking a big game, you finally get in there and you get spanked. But, in all seriousness, it probably would be a smart play. But I don't think it affects what we're talking about with Wall. You're right.
No,
as a kid,
not at all.
You know, 23 is different than – 23 for a goalie is different for 23 for a forward or a defenseman. You got to get your games in. But credit to him, credit to the Leafs. And again, they're off to California. They're back in action on Wednesday. Yeah, it was weird, though, with the Isles last night, like that building, because Nassau Coliseum had such a reputation of being crazy. And I know that there's a call. Yeah, and I know there's a call. There's been a call out there, and I see Islanders fans online, and I understand why they're disappointed, because COVID has really hit this team, and the fact that they've been on the road so much waiting for the building to open up clearly has affected this team. But I would guess it was the owner who said, we're not shutting things down. Like, I just paid a fortune for this. We've been waiting for it. We've sold the tickets. I'm not canceling the game. You know, like, I don't know if it's Bettman necessarily. I don't know if it's some conspiracy against the Islanders. I wouldn't be surprised if the owner was like, we're playing. Like, we've been waiting a long time to open this building. We're not postponing because of COVID. And, you know, they had to pay the price because Calgary was in there, and Calgary wins on Saturday night. Calgary goes into Boston last night. And skunks them 4-0.
Seven shutouts and 19, or whatever it is. They got seven shutouts.
Seven and 19 games. Seven shutouts, and Markstrom's got five of them. Darth Vladar has two.
The Darth Vlader. He's getting starts. Like, Sutter's playing him. You know, obviously back to backs, but he's playing him and clearly likes him. And Darryl Sutter is getting the necessary love, but I give credit to the players as well. You know, Johnny Gaudreau has shown up. Mahanshi Pani's got 15 goals in 19 games.
Second,
isn't that crazy?
Two assists, though. That's the best stat. 15-2. It's not even a point-a-game guy. He's got 15 goals in 19 games, not a point-a-game.
Let me ask you this. We talked about Jack Campbell at least being on the radar for Team USA. Does Mangiapane even get a look, a sniff?
Of course. I'm thinking about it because,
well,
you know what?
On,
Noodles, the way I look at it is, if this is the season of his life where everything's magical and everything he touches around the net, maybe he can score a shorthanded goal in a massive game that's just that only he could have scored because it's just his year. That is why I would keep him into consideration. Maybe it's just his year to do everything. And the guy's got 15 goals. Why can't he play on a fourth line and kill penalties? I have no idea.
Well, the only problem is Brian's got the counter to it. I can see the head shake. It's too deep.
Listen, Mangiapane, he is on fire right now. He's not going over the boards before McDavid. I can give you eight guys who he's not beating.
Dude, I'm not talking about McDavid, Hayes. I'm talking about going down the roster and finding the guy that just has to be on this team because of name recognition. And maybe he's having a dumpster fire of a year, and maybe he just doesn't get the call.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a different conversation. I get that. I mean, not getting on the team because of reputation. What I'm saying is I think they would look at Mangiapane and say, we're not bringing you here thinking you're scoring. Like, you're a depth piece. So can you do more? Because you may play 8 minutes. Can you kill penalties?
Well, if you listen to what I just said a couple minutes ago, that's what I would use him as a depth piece. Kill penalties, and maybe you score a massive shorthanded goal.
Maybe, but again, I'm saying, like, his stats, 15 and 19 is remarkable. Two assists is actually insane. Like, 15 goals, two assists. So, I honestly think they would look at the two assists and say, I'm not sure this guy's coming. Like, you know how they detail the team out and they think, this is where our offense is coming. This is what I can expect out of this guy. Like, that's how Babcock operated anyway. Like, the best players in the world came over there.
A lot of overthinking,
but it worked.
Right.
It worked in 2010. It worked in 2014. May change with Cooper. It might. But I wouldn't be surprised if he drew on a lot of the experiences from Babcock and others with the Canadian Olympic team. And I think the approach with Mangiapane, and I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm not saying I wouldn't necessarily put him on if it feels right at the time, is I think they would be looking at, I think they'd almost push the goals away, as silly as it sounds, and say, where else do I see him? Like, what else does he bring? What else do I like out of his game? And, you know, if there's enough there, then absolutely. Because he's having a rock star year. He's off to a great season. There's no question about that. He's got it. His name is out there. It has to be.
Right. If it's Coop, does he even look at Cirelli? You know, Cirelli might be a guy that's on, you know, we talk long lists because I think on this show we could come up with 10 guys in our sleep, not even thinking about it, probably the top 14. But, you know, longer list, I'd like to see Mangiapane at least get a look. I'd like to see some guys that are younger cycling through. But then what has that happened at the expense of? I would think Tavares is on a longer list.
Yeah,
right?
I think he's a bubble. I don't think he's a lock by any means. But, no. You know, there's an example of what we might be talking about here. So do you go with a guy who plays up the middle, a guy who's got more experience, or a Cirelli?
What if the coaches want McDavid to play with Zach Hyman? They like the chemistry. They like the work element of it.
It happened in 14. No, for sure. Kunitz is a perfect example.
There you go. Kunitz is a perfect example.
Yes, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, well, I'm not expecting Hyman to be there, but, you know, he's in a similar conversation. He's having a great year. He's a good player. He's capable of playing with good players.
Yes.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because we were texting back and forth over the weekend with Matthews, and 5-on-5, he's not quite himself. And if you look over the first 5 years in the league, I'd say 80% of his 5-on-5 shifts were with Hyman.
85, maybe.
What's that?
Maybe 85%.
Yeah, like maybe in other words, a majority of his shifts, Hyman was with him. And he's still got Marner. He's coming off the surgery. He's still getting chances. He's going to get there at some point. But he doesn't look like himself 5-on-5.
No, he doesn't. He cannot fall on the Zach Hyman's not there to do whatever he did for the line. It's just that's not available for him.
No.
Mitch Marner's still on his line. But you are seeing maybe how valuable the stuff that Zach Hyman did for that line. I mean, but a lot of possession, a lot of chance. Like, he got in the corners and won battles, which is really important. But as far as, like, creating and making the passes himself, that really wasn't his bag. But the bottom line is whatever he was doing for that line, maybe Matthews misses it, or maybe he just needs to get into a rhythm with that wrist, the injury. Timing, I don't know. But you
I think
tell
it's a combination.
Simon, yeah,
it's I think it's probably a combination. Really. Even just, you know, the chaos in front of the net that Hyman created. You got a guy like – if you have a guy like Matthews who's got a lane and Hyman's causing chaos, you know, all of a sudden that top shelf looks, you know, like butter for a guy like Matthews. And maybe it's not available as much without Hyman's presence at this point.
Hyman got an assist two nights ago, I think it hit him in front of the net and dropped onto somebody's stick.
Right.
Like, legitimately. Like, you're right. I think Hyman's best attribute Edmonton loves, obviously, is his puck retrieval and puck hounding. Like, he forechecks like a bandit. He's hard on the puck, and he's not shy to go to the front of the net. And I think that's what you're looking at. You know, a guy like Bunting who, you know, went for the fourth line up to the first line. Like, I don't know if he's a everyday guy there personally. Now, we're still early. We're 20 games in. I see him as an energy guy who draws penalties. I think he's tied for first in the league in drawing penalties. So
yeah, he's certainly in the top 5 or 10, yeah.
Energy guy, but I don't know if I see him consistently. Nick Ritchie, same thing. Like, you know, they're at the end of the day, I think they've got fingers crossed that Mikheyev comes back and that Kerfoot stays there, because Kerfoot's got speed and plays with a purpose. Mm-hmm. So if Kerfoot and Mikheyev can give you your left side, then you go Ritchie and Bunting and call it a day type of thing. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah,
type of combination.
Probably right. And I think when Mikheyev comes back, they're like, Keefe is mixing it up constantly. And he mixed them up last night, and he liked it, and it was a win, and I would suspect it will stick on Wednesday night. But, we'll see, because that has been – it's been the blender. The blender's come out on the left side. Not as much up the middle of the ice, clearly, not to be expected, and same thing on the right side. So the Leafs, again, are off to California. They're playing again on Wednesday night. Noodles is in Cali. We've got a lot to get into today. Got a Monday nighter tonight. Team Al Dog on the clock making their pick. I saw something yesterday on the text chain that was maybe the most pathetic chain of texts I've ever witnessed in my life. I've got a timestamp the whole night. I'll break it down. There was a 3-second video that went viral yesterday that puts me in a very good mood. And the Raptors remain on the road. They're not necessarily having a good time. Not Dude, having the time of their lives
that
on
was...
the road.
Child's play last night for G-State.
That was Golden State just saying, thank you, we'll go ahead and take that. So we'll get into that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So I jumped on the I'm Back announcement earlier today, and O posted that on Twitter. The majority of people reacted the way you would expect them to react. A couple of people were like, wait a minute, I don't get it. You're only away for a day. Like, how does this make any sense? But... yeah, there he is in the basement, creepy hoodie on, microphone.
I thought it was fantastic.
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good acting. And some people were asking as well online, like, how many takes? I'm like, telling you, that was the first take. One take, Jake, and I was out of here. But much like being called coach a few months ago, very intoxicating, the I'm Back video. Very intoxicating. And I urge you to try it in the future anytime you miss a day. Just fire out and I'm back, because there's no
yeah. But what
rules
if you're like
regulations on it?
Rick from accounting, and you post it on Instagram, and it's like all you walk in, and all your colleagues are just like, Rick, you're a loser.
Why not though? Like, yeah, why is it exclusive?
Because Rick
to
from
Jordan?
Accounting, basically any of us three, we don't have the clout. Like, we're not LeBron. By the way, LeBron is a whole different story.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Sideshow.
That is insane.
That is insane.
Crazy.
But we don't have the clout to post I'm back. Like, that was the famous quote from Michael Jordan when he was returning to the NBA after like a year and a half absence. Not a radio show host or Rick in accounting. You
after
can't do
one
it.
Day off with a cold
yeah.
on Friday. Like, that's the beauty of it. But I'm telling you, man, I'm into it, and it might have to happen again in the future. And I'm urging people to jump on board. Water down the I'm Back stuff so that it's not exclusively for athletes and, you know, musicians and entertainers. Why can't the average Joe have an I'm Back video, message, press release? I think it's something.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think it has to be a part of the program here. But the Tiger video, the little 3-second, looked like he was hitting a wedge.
Jeez, did that send the golf world
something.
Into a tailspin?
What is that worth? What's running through your mind when there's Tiger? That's got to be his backyard. What a butter setup he's got. Just
it's
launching
not
golf
his
balls.
Backyard, you know. Dude. That's at Medalist Golf Club in South Florida.
I wouldn't be shocked if that's his backyard at all.
Oh,
okay.
He does have a setup where it's like, you know, golf balls, like putting. Like, he's got a setup. But
oh, yeah.
That video, like, there was the best of the best. Justin Thomas was commenting on that. And what I look into it is what you talked about last week, and it's just one thing. Come April, around April 10th, that that guy is going to be walking up and down the hills of Augusta National. But who knows? The way he looks right there, maybe it's sooner. Maybe he does show up at Torrey and get warmed up a little bit and watch Patrick Reed cheating the rough out at Torrey. Maybe he shows up there to sniff around.
Yeah.
Who knows what he's up to?
Maybe. I would think it's more likely, you know, Bay Hill maybe in Florida keeps him within the state, closer to the Masters. But I think we're 133 days away from the opening round at the Masters. I think he's got 100 days to get it together, to be within, you know, 30 days of the start of the tournament, because you're probably going to want to play at least a tournament if you can. You got to build up the muscle mass. But, you know, it was his right leg that was so significantly damaged, and because he shoots the ball, because he's right-handed, you know, everything's kind of going on the left side. So I think he looked good. You know, it's a three-second video. I don't know. I'm breaking this down like it's the Zapruder film. I don't know what to make of it. I hope it means something. I think the fact that he's posting it, Tiger Woods saying making progress, it would suggest he clearly has a goal in mind to play again, right? Which I think is a step here. Because when he first had the crash, you know, the initial reports were this guy may never walk again. Like, forget golf. Don't even bring it up. You couldn't bring it up. That was insensitive.
And you saw, like, how small this guy's calves are and ankles. Yeah. Like, they're tiny, tiny.
But he is a warrior in the gym. Everyone knows it. And if he's got his mindset, I'm thinking, man, 133 days from now, and the odds makers in Vegas are already going nuts. I'm sure you guys saw it online. He's flying up the leaderboard in terms of odds to win the Masters.
Dude, come on. One thing I was thinking about, Hayes, is we talked about, or I talked about, how it's like the Golf Channel. This is like version 12 of the comeback.
Mm-hmm.
I think with just the fascination with this guy and social media and everything building, I think this would be like the biggest comeback of all. I don't know why. Even after, like, when he was doing shady stuff and pulled over in the car, for some reason, I just think, you saw the people at Augusta National. You saw him win the Tour Championship, where the lines of people were walking behind him in the 18th fairway. They're obsessed with this guy. People love this guy. The most popular golfer of all time, and maybe the most forgiven athlete of all time, where people is bad doings are just forget about that. I don't care, Tiger Woods.
But that's the difference, I think, between this run and the previous, or two or three times ago. You lose track in terms of when he came back. When he came back from the Thanksgiving melee and his wife and everything was coming out, Page Six and People magazine, that was split. I think, you know, there were a lot of people that were like, yeah, I just want to see him play golf. Others were like, yeah, this is tough to explain because we know what this guy's been up to. But it was moral, right? He didn't do anything criminal, but it was moral. Then there were other times where, remember, he got pulled over and he got arrested. Like, that was a tough look for him. And this was, this is a car crash where he needs to overcome something that almost seems, you know, I'm not going to say impossible, but very, very difficult to overcome. And the perseverance, I think, is what people have always appreciated, the work ethic, the commitment, the passion for the sport. And I think once he won the Masters a couple of years ago, it was like, hey, he's back. This is great. This is more about his looking back on his career. Every achievement is, hey, how great was this guy 10, 15 years ago? It's just great to have Tiger around. And I think that is what is going to probably occur here if he ends up coming back.
Dude, and, any other athlete, Hayes, like, it's still – you notice how – and I don't want to keep digging it up on the guy because everybody loves him. They want him back golfing. But, like, no one has asked the question, what the hell were you up to in that morning driving that car on that road? Like, what the hell were you doing?
I never saw, like, a final investigation. Not that I feel privy to it.
No! You know, it's just weird where it's like people are like, what the hell was this guy up to? Where was he going? Where was he at?
I think he was going to play around or give lessons to someone. Or, like, he was out there with Dwayne Wade. Wasn't David Spade shooting with him? Like, he was out in Cali. He was at the Genesis. I mean, that's
anyway, I guess people just don't ask Tiger Woods that. Like, what the hell were you up to?
He doesn't really allow him. He hasn't done any interviews. That's another thing.
Like, and if he ever did, he'd say, you asked me that, I'm going to sucker you right between the eyes.
It was an accident.
I mean, it's his history that, you know, the wife is chasing him down the road with the golf club. And, you know, he's had the DUIs with the, you know, all of that stuff. And what is it, Perkins?
Perkins Diner was reportedly one of his fondest spots.
But that's so the thing, Noodles. Apparently he was going to tee it up somewhere. Most people like Tiger Woods, they're staying at the W Hotel or somewhere in Santa Monica. This guy's leaving a neighborhood out in Cali, going a zillion miles an hour. The hell's he doing?
Well, you know what he's doing. See, nobody's putting two and two together. They don't want to know it. I mean, he's single, isn't he? Is he single?
No, I believe he's in a relationship, but he's not, you know, there's no matrimony there. Listen,
anyway, it's good that he's back. He's good that he's back.
And the video's
not in a high-speed chase.
No, exactly. He didn't do anything illegal.
Hayes, there was another golf picture yesterday, and I'm telling you, this is the back-to-back. Rory McIlroy was so pissed after he lost in Dubai yesterday. There's a picture of him circulating where he's got his golf shirt ripped in half. And I just thought to myself, that is backing up the fake crying at the Ryder Cup. Because he wants people to think that he has this maniacal burning desire that he hates losing. So he's probably telling somebody, I'm going to rip my gear off here, snap a pic so I look really pissed off. It's so disingenuous, it's outrageous.
I had the same reaction. I'm like, what a hero move. Who
yes,
the guys golf
think
shirt?
It's fake.
The guy's blown leads before at the Masters. This guy's in Dubai. You think he grew up even dreaming about going to Dubai?
He doesn't care. He's got $300 million, and I think he has this obsession with the media. Grappler, try to find the pic of Rory with his nipple hanging out of his
golf saw shirt. I saw it trending on Twitter yesterday.
But here is my reasoning behind the picture and him ripping his shirt. He just has this thing with the media where it drives him nuts that the media says that he doesn't care, he's not passionate enough. And he's got everything, the world by the balls, and he just wants to golf. And that's probably ultimately true. Who knows? He doesn't have this burning desire to win like
Nobody
Tiger Woods
does on tour.
I
though,
know.
Dude. It's
and
not the
I
Hulkster
think,
at WrestleMania.
I think it drives him crazy, and I think he thinks of avenues in which to show that he really cares. The Ryder Cup, the fake crying, twice in a row on two different networks, and then the ripped shirt. It's like, dude, just get in your private jet and go home. Everybody
so he's
loves
a phony.
You. I'm not going to go as far as to say he's a phony.
That's basically what we're saying.
He's a Let's, phony.
He's
then.
A phony.
If
he's a phony.
Our read on it is, cannot confirm or deny, but it came off as heroic. Yes, yeah. I saw it the same way. Who rips their shirt in a clubhouse?
Dude, nobody cares that much. He made probably whatever. And he gets in the private bird and he goes back to Florida. It's nonsense.
Like, you break clubs. That you can do.
Go ahead.
I've seen guys break clubs after the first hole on a Muni. Playing for $20, you know, like that, I'll give you. The ripped shirt, I've never seen. And I played with lunatics on the course. I've never seen someone rip a shirt. Never.
Never the Hulkamania move with the golf shirt.
No, the Hulkamania is not, unless it's some Nike promotion where maybe that's the next wave of golf shirts. I don't know. Speaking of Nike, LeBron has been, well, MJ's the king of Nike. Tiger's probably number, that's a good question in terms of who is on the Mount Rushmore of Nike. If you did four, those three would clearly be on it. MJ, Tiger,
Kobe.
LeBron. But, yeah, Kobe was clearly a Nike guy for a long time. Jeter was a Nike guy, but he's not up there with those
Kobe
guys.
Didn't Kobe switch to Adidas late, though?
Well, no, but there was some – remember we had the conversation about my Kobes, and we were talking about the Kobe shoes a couple weeks ago because Kobe's
nobody can get them anymore.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Kobe's company or whatever, estate, has stopped working with Nike, or vice versa. Something happened there, so they're no longer making Kobe lines. But we mentioned LeBron a few moments ago, and this was not the malice in the palace at all. In fact, there was some Rory McIlroy-esque vibes last night in Detroit. But LeBron, I think, needs to be suspended. I think the NBA has to suspend him here. He blatantly elbows Isaiah Stewart, draws blood. It's not in his nature. It's not his history. Like, I don't think of LeBron as a guy that generally does this.
It's only
this.
The second time in his career.
Yeah, but he clearly reacted. You know, they're boxing out, and he clearly throws an elbow and clips him. So if you're going to be consistent here with the NBA, basically has a no-touching policy, let alone bombs or elbows or whatever, you got to clip the guy, even though the Lakers are not off to a good start and he's LeBron James, you got to give him a suspension. You know, I don't think you got to get crazy. I'd give him a game, maybe two, but you've got to give it to him. And I'll bet you Adam Silver is freaking right now because it's the last thing you want. You want LeBron playing. He just got back from injury, and the Lakers are struggling. They need him.
Well, Silver's got to be careful with it, Hayes, because whatever he gives LeBron, everyone is going to send video in comparison and say, this is what I did, and you gave me this for a suspension, and that's what Bron did, and that's what you gave him. Give me a break.
Well,
I mean, there's a double standard because he's the most popular player ever, but you got to be careful with that.
Stewart's going to get something for shoving guards around and attacking players too, correct?
That, I feel, is one of the more heroic moves, though. Like, he
Dude,
knows
he came
he's not
back
getting
four
to LeBron.
Times. The best one was the last one where it's like it was all settling down.
I'm telling you right now, just mark my words, that security guard has a neck brace on right now, and he's guaranteed. He's calling
he's looking for something.
A lawyer.
He
Absolutely, because he got mowed over, and all he's trying to do is his job. And, you know, Stewart, I saw. I mean, he's leaking pretty good. Yeah. That was an egregious hit. And I think LeBron should get clipped for multiple games, but Stewart's going to get something too, because that's disrespectful too to staff there. And there
yes,
were players and refs and all of that that he was pushing. He's going to, I bet you LeBron gets two and Stewart gets one.
Yeah, honestly, you bring up a good point though, Noodles, where you could make an argument, as goofy as it might sound, that he could get more because the league is more sensitive to
outside people.
Outside people also, like, the history in Detroit in particular, ironically, the Malice in the Palace, that really changed the NBA. David Stern just said, that's it, we're done. Like, everyone's suspended. Remember, Ron Artest got suspended for, like, 75 games or whatever it was. Jermaine O'Neal was gone for, like, all these guys were just gone. And they put in these new policies where it's like, anything happens, it's just, it's going to be punitive. Like, we are going to come down hard on you. And that's why LeBron, I think, if we're going to be consistent with this, LeBron's going to have to get clipped. But I think Isaiah Stewart constantly dragging it back out and bringing more people into it and leading it into more of a circus-type atmosphere would probably make them feel more uneasy, because that's when someone says something or someone does something, and then you got a full brawl in the middle of the court, and you're like, uh-oh. Like, there's fans sitting courtside. It can get dangerous, because that's the worst nightmare. And that's what happened, obviously, with the Malice in the Palace. Now, that idiot threw the drink. He's a buffoon, but you get players, even if they're not going at the stands or going at the fans, they fall in there or someone throws something and accidentally hits someone, then you're talking danger. Like, then you're talking lawsuits, and then it gets crazy. So I would expect the league comes down hard on both guys. But you got to clip LeBron. You got to. Like, it's an elbow.
Right.
It's blatant. Everyone saw it. You got to. And Lakers are 9-9. LeBron's just coming back off injury, but I think he's going to have to sit. So the Raptors are 1-3 on the road. We'll touch on them a little bit later in the afternoon. When they play quality teams, it doesn't go so well, specifically with Pascal Siakam. Like, I'm noticing a trend here. It's one thing against Sacramento to go off. It's another thing when you're playing Utah. I didn't think he was very assertive last night at all.
Dude, he got beat by Poole and Wiggins last night.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Wiggins, they're different players, different styles, but I see them very alike in terms of their talent, in terms of their body types, in terms of their attitudes. Wiggins, when he was the man in Minnesota, or trying to be, it didn't work. You go to Golden State, you're playing 28, 29 minutes, you get wide-open shots, and look at Wiggins, looks spectacular. Full credit to Andrew Wiggins.
Well, very, very good point, but don't you think that Siakam looked his best when Kawhi was on the floor?
That's my point. That's my point, though. That's what I'm saying. Because it was Kawhi 1, Kyle 2, Pascal 3. You know, and at times it would flip with Green, with Gasol, if Ibaka was hot, if Fred was hot. Like, there were times in the NBA Finals, Siakam was fourth, fifth option. You know, it was a guy that could just get lost in the shuffle. And that's what Wiggins is doing. That's what Poole's doing, because everyone's focused on Steph. Evan will be focused on Clay when he comes back. Everyone's focused on Draymond and what he's bringing. And, you know, Siakam, against the best teams, when he's expected to bring the most, at this point, he's coming up short.
Yeah, and so, G-State can make any team look stupid. And you always hear coaches or players say after a game, we were chasing the game. If G-State comes out and they're firing on all cylinders the way they shoot the ball, they make the opposition chase the game. They make you look like idiots.
Yes.
Because there was circus shots from guys that had no disrespect to them, but just no capabilities of doing it. And then they just go the other way and they kill you even more.
Well, and that's it. Like in the fourth quarter, I think Raptors got it down to 10. Maybe it was single digits. And then, back-to-back threes from Golden State, and you're like, it's done. See you later. Like, even Devlin, I think, kind of basically made that point during the broadcast. Like, well, that one hurts, because it's over. They hit two shots, and they defend well. It's impossible to keep up. That was Golden State in their heyday a few years ago, and full credit to them, man. They bottomed out for a year or two, and now they're back, and they look, I won't say better than ever, but they look like a real threat in the West, and I would say league-wide in the NBA. Mike Johnson coming up. He'll join us in about 20 minutes. Marcellus Wiley in about an hour. And wild weekend in the NFL and a wild scene in Buffalo. We'll tell you about a move from the owner of the Colts. Go around the table and we'll debate whether or not we believe this is a good call, bad call. Otherwise, that more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Al's brother will join us here in just a moment. You guys have your pick tonight. I'll tell you about our text chain yesterday.
I don't know what was so gutless about it.
Okay, so I had the Colts, all right? I was away, and I don't know who made the pick, Gord, Noodles, the Grappler. I don't know. 15 people texted me on Friday. I'm like, I don't know, guys. This is what I'm thinking. Go ahead, figure it out. Colts roll. So I'm 1-0. The first drive of the 4 o'clock game, Al's brother writes, we're going 0-3. The first drive of the second game, we're going 0-3. O jumps on board and goes, oh, 100%, we're done. The first drive of the second game, these guys were convinced that they were getting snookered. And they should have, if it wasn't for the idiot Chargers blowing a massive lead where they should have covered last night. So you guys end up going 2-1. But that's gutless. Like, you're 5 minutes into the second game, and you're already
committed to losing.
Dude, I know about
that. Once they're you get into that group. Negative, like, mode, that, like, Buffalo defeat. What the hell is Buffalo doing, by the
they're
way? Now New England is at the top of the division.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but who was the second game?
You guys had the Cowboys at Chiefs.
Oh, that was just another joke show. Like,
well,
the Dallas
Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys, just come on. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I always say, it's just the overhype machine. You just want something. And especially when you're just not a fan of them and you can't stand them and you're depending on them, they will always let you down.
Yeah.
They will always, always kick you in the rear end.
It is sickening. And then
sickening.
The nightcap, I had Chargers minus six, I think it was. And that game was over all night. It was over all night. And, of course, the Chargers throw it away with special teams. They came back and won. Credit to them. But, yeah, so Indianapolis, they are full-blown panic mode in Buffalo right now. Like, full-blown panic mode. They've lost two of their last three, including at the Jags. And yesterday, they got beat 41-15. 41-15. And that run defense obviously got crushed. That Colts offensive line is spectacular. Jonathan Taylor, 5 touchdowns. But Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, was up in a private box in Buffalo. And he had the window open, and there were a bunch of Buffalo Bills fans in front of the window. We have the viz up on TSN4. And I guess they were chirping him all night because they knew it was him. He's in a suit. Irsay's pretty open. He's on Twitter. He's always, you know, he's a pretty loud guy. And they were chirping him all night saying, we're going to get you, we're going to get you. And obviously the Colts blew the doors off him. So at the end of the game, he signed a bunch of $100 bills and had his lackey go hand them out to the Bills fans.
Wow.
Signing $100 bills and saying, go chew on that. Not only did we come in here and spank you, I have so much money, I'm going to sign this $100 bill and hand it to you and make you love me.
Dude, that's gutless, man. I'm sorry.
I like it a lot. I think it's karma. I think it's going to come back and hammer him in the future.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it's a big baller move. That's a LeVar Ball move. Big baller move. And
except
I support
LeVar Ball doesn't have that type of cash.
No, obviously not. But it's something that he might do.
It's money. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something he might try, at least, to throw it in someone's face. All right, let's bring in Al's brother. Let's get to the intro music. It's very appropriate. We got to have him. Let's bring in Al's brother for the pick tonight. Doesn't seem that necessary.
Al's
does it,
brother.
Al's brother. All right, Al's brother. I don't know if he's in the best mood, but anyway, the Monday night NFL pick back and brought to you by BookSeats.com. Visit at BookSeats.com to enter the Las Vegas Sports Package giveaway. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. At BookSeats.com on Instagram. Follow them. Check it out. The best sports package giveaway you're ever going to see. Vegas, football, hockey, the whole nine. Check it out. All right, Al's brother, you're on the clock, buddy. This is a big spread, man. Tampa laying 11 at home against the Giants.
I know. This is a giant spread, pun intended, totally. Mm-hmm. But you know what, though? I like the Bucks, man. I got to tell you, I like the Bucks to win tonight. I do.
By 12 is what you're telling us.
By 12 points. It's exactly what I like to do. They're 3-1 at home this season when favored by more than a touchdown. So they are extremely good at home. They're 7-1 their last 8 games at home. Tampa Bay back at home. They're going to shut things down. Tom Brady has never lost 3 games in a row. He
Gronk back
lose.
In. Gronk back in.
That was my next point. Rob Gronkowski getting back into this one. And we all know that Gronk is a safety blanket that he's been missing the last couple of weeks. He gets that back. That offense gets rolling. And they just take a look at the decimated defense over the New York Giants. I really do like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to roll tonight at home. we're laying the points with the Bucs.
Okay, the pick is in. That's a big number. Wow. I mean, Tampa's coming off a bad loss last weekend. Brady not happy. Usually he responds. I wonder if he's looking up to New England and saying, man, I better make a statement here too because my boy Belichick is really making some noise. I believe Saquon Barkley's coming back tonight, though, too. Did I not see that?
He is. I actually think that might hurt them.
That's an interesting play. I think
it might hurt them because they're going to try and force him into the game, and the Bucs are the best run defense
in the
league.
Kill the clock, Al's brother. When I get 11 points to play with, that's what I want. Move the chains.
The bottom line is Joe Judge is a fraud, and so is Danny Dimes. End of story.
Okay. All right. You guys are on it. Lock it in. Best of luck. I don't want to see any lame text from you after the first drive tonight, Al's brother.
No.
The Monday night pick is in, and it's brought to you by BookSeats.com. Again, visit at BookSeats.com to enter the Las Vegas Sports Package giveaway on Instagram, BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit Felix.ca.